Yesterday we were talking through being satisfied in Jesus. It reminds me of Psalm 42, which is a song about being satisfied in God and seeking our true and full fulfillment of satisfaction in God and God alone. And that's where Jesus was comparing and contrasting physical food with spiritual food. And so we're going to step back, read the last verse, and then we'll continue on from where we left off yesterday. And so the disciples had asked, did someone bring Jesus some food? Because he's saying he's no longer hungry because he had food that we don't know about. And Jesus had said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there is yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already, the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For there the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, but you have entered into their labor. All right, so that was a big chunk there. Now we'll start walking through there. So Jesus was talking about the food and then says, there is yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. And so he's grounding them in the current calendar, saying everyone was looking out thinking in 4 months, all the plants would actually have grown enough. So we put in our seeds and then they grow into little plants. And then 4 months later, they're ready to go and harvest, to cut here maybe the wheat and then harvest the wheat and prepare it to turn it into flour so that you can eat that. And he's saying, no, look out. The fields are white for harvest, meaning that they're ripe, that everything is ready to be harvested. And so one, he's saying, look out in general. But even more specifically, we look back at verse 30, it talking about they, that's the townspeople, were responding to the woman who was Jesus met at the well, and they were coming out of the town to Jesus. And so that's where John did that switch, and we moved from talking about the townspeople and the woman at the well to Jesus talking to his disciples. And we see that these townspeople are now coming out to the well. And so they're on their way out. Jesus is having this interaction with his disciples about the food. And then he says, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see, which would be look up and see, look in front of you and see that the field is white for harvest. So see that there are all these people coming out of the town to us. They are the field that is ripe to be harvested. And Jesus knows that these are actually going to believe in him. And so he's saying, look, these people are already saved. They are coming out to be harvested because they are fruit. They are the ones who are going to receive this eternal life. Verse 36, already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. Already the one who harvests is bringing people in to the eternal life. And so it's even before Jesus died and rose again. Remember, they all have the hope. People before that point, if they had that hope and that faith in the coming Messiah, that's how they are saved. It's through that faith that they have. And so Jesus is saying that already God is gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. It's just so exciting that you can see that the sower and the reaper, the one who planted and the one who harvests, can reap together and can rejoice together. And we know that there is great celebration in heaven for those who are brought in to God's family, brought in as adopted sons and daughters, and are joined together in the universal church family. And so there is great rejoicing there. And these townspeople who are coming out, they are part of that family being brought in. And Jesus says, "For there is the saying, and it holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." So he's saying, I'm sending you out into this field that I'm talking about, but look, it's already ready for harvest. You haven't done any of the planting, the caring for, the making sure that the field's ready. You didn't do any of that work. You are coming at the very last minute, at the time when you get to harvest and then enjoy rejoicing in the glories that are the resurrection and the enjoying of eternal life. You get to come in at that last moment, and others have been preparing this land for you. Most immediately, others would be referring to someone like John the Baptist, who's been out preaching a call to repent from your sins, or even the woman who was at the well, who went into the town and prepared those town folk for coming out to meet Jesus. She prepared them by saying, "Come and see the man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Do you have faith that this is the Christ? Come and see, test your faith, see if this is the Christ." And so now the disciples get to be there to witness the harvesting and to be part of the harvesting of these individuals who are coming out of that town. And it says in verse 39, "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did." And so we're seeing that from back in verse 29 and 30, these town people are believing before they even met Jesus. That's why they're coming out. So in verse 40, "So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days." They're so excited to have him there. They believe already. So they are bringing him into town and say, "Please stay with us, teach us, be with us. We want you to be here. We want to learn from you." And so he stays there 2 days, being with them, teaching them. We see here that, "And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believed, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world.'" So these are some amazing lines here. We see them then tell about their faith here. "It is no longer because of your words that we believe." So they believed because of her words, but now they have even stronger belief and stronger faith, not just because of what she said, but because of being with Jesus. And hearing for themselves. So it goes from belief because of what she told them, which is a strong belief because they were believing without seeing or experiencing. Just like us, we don't get to see the physical Jesus, even the pre-death, pre-resurrected Christ. We don't get to see that. We believe without that seeing. We believe based on the words that we have here and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But they moved from believing because of what she said to then believing because of what they could experience and learn from Jesus. And they know, it says, "And we know that he is the Savior of the world." We know indeed he is the Messiah and the Christ. Like you told us when you called us out of town that first day, saying, "Could this be the Christ?" Now we know that yes, indeed he is. And it's because of that belief that they are brought into God's family. They are then going to be harvested when they die here. They're going to be harvested and brought into eternal life with Christ, worshiping him for all eternity, being cleansed of their sins, not because of their works. It's not because they walked out of town or invited Jesus in. That's not what is saving them. It is through faith. Faith that Jesus is actually who he said he is, and that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And then, verse 43, after 2 days, he departed for Galilee. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So he went and came into Galilee, and the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. And so he's returning back to Galilee, which is where he had intended to go before he stopped at the well and met with the Samaritans here for these 2 days. And verse 44 talks about how Jesus says that the prophet has no honor in his hometown. And it doesn't look like this is the same honor that is mentioned in like Matthew 13:57, where Jesus had been preaching and proclaiming the coming kingdom of God and Christ's eternal kingdom. And the Pharisees and those in his town there got very angry with him, and they tried to send him out or to kill him and to get rid of him. And then he says that a prophet has no honor in his hometown because he was not being honored and respected there. Where here he says the prophet has no honor in his hometown. So it might mean that he doesn't have any honor there yet, or while he's on his way up there, because we see that he's going up to Galilee from Jerusalem, and then has testified that a prophet doesn't have honor. And then right in verse 45, that so he came to Galilee and the Galileans welcomed him. So they welcomed him. So they are not dishonoring him, but they're just hadn't fully believed in him maybe as of yet. And it says that they had seen all the work that he had done, for they too had gone to the feast. And so we have to remember all the way back into chapter 2. So right after the wedding in Cana, he went down into Jerusalem. In verse 13 of chapter 2, he went down. And then in verse 23, it says that now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. And so here's this. He was down in Jerusalem and people were believing. And these people here, they had too gone down to the feast in Jerusalem and they were believing. So they had seen what he did down there. And so this is an exciting little account here, especially the belief of the two different groups, two different types of belief, and especially the Samaritans who are believing in this Jew who they might not like or appreciate or want to be affiliated and associated with, especially went the other way, but that here's this Jew who was claiming to be the Messiah and is the Messiah, and they believe in him. And so that's our call and our declaration for today, is that we believe in God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, Jesus, who came and was born as a little baby, born truly God and truly man, grew up, lived a perfect and a sinless life, suffering and dying a death he did not deserve on the cross. And through that suffering and that death, took on the wrath that was due for our sins. And we believe that he is Christ and that he did take on those sins on the cross. And we believe that he did not stay dead, but that 3 days later, he rose again from the dead and has through that defeated sin. And he has provided a way for us to enter into eternal life with him, to be co-heirs of that eternity, to be with him for all of eternity, worshiping and praising God forever. So let us believe Let us declare that we believe that, and let us go and tell others, like the woman at the well, let us go and tell others about this Messiah, this Jesus, the Christ.